live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's the main evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the Exchequer's deficit reached €6.1 billion in May as pressure on finances continues. However, tax revenues were up. COVID-19 can't be used as an excuse to remove services from rural Ireland, particularly by banks. That's according to the deputy leader of Fianna Fáil. An anti-racism protest at the US Embassy in Dublin goes ahead this Saturday, according to the organisers, despite calls for it to be abandoned. Government formation talks have been continuing, but hopes of a deal this week are fading. And later in the bulletin, we'll have the sports news with Oisin Kelly. That's coming up at around 5:15. Good evening. The Exchequer's deficit reached €6.1 billion in May as pressure on the government's finances continues with the COVID-19 pandemic. However, latest figures show tax revenues up 1.3% on May of last year. That's due to an unexpected increase in the amount of corporation tax collected. Spending is up 19% on what was planned, largely due to health and income supports, such as the weekly pandemic unemployment payment. Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says while the signs are positive, it's too early to say how the economy is coping overall with COVID-19.
We have seen a far less significant decrease in our personal tax receipts. But for now, that's all it is. It's a signal. And before we can form a wider view, we will need to see the June figures. And in particular, we'll need to see how the number of citizens on the PUP and how income performs as we go ahead with the reopening of our economy.
Well, COVID-19 can't be used as an excuse to remove services from rural Ireland. That's according to Fianna Fáil. The party's deputy leader, Derek Cleary, says he believes a number of companies and banks in particular are considering not reopening branches. He told a Dáil debate, that's simply not acceptable.
And I've referred specifically to banks. And Minister, I want to know, as Minister for Rural Affairs, have you taken a stand against banks who use COVID as a cover to close branches and are delaying in reopening them? That is a disgraceful way to treat rural Ireland, given that rural Ireland helped pay the bills that those banks left behind.
An anti-racism protest at the US Embassy is set to go ahead this Saturday, despite calls for it to be abandoned. The Health Minister says the anti-racism march, which took place earlier this week, clearly breached social distancing guidelines. A separate protest that was planned for Monday has been called off, but one scheduled for the weekend organised by Massey, Black Pride Ireland and MERJ Ireland is taking place. The demonstrations have been sparked by the killing of George Floyd in the US. Minister Simon Harris is urging organisers to cancel the events in the interests of public health.
And there will be a time when we can protest again, and protest is a good and healthy thing in a democracy. But now is not the time, because we don't want to undermine the progress. And I'm conscious that now is also a time where, you know, if your aunt passed away, you can't go to their funeral. You know, I mean, now is a time where there's real human tragedy in our country. So social distancing is tough on all of us, and we got to stick with it.
Two men have been arrested in connection with the shooting of a man in County Limerick in 2015. A man in his 50s was shot by two masked men as he parked his car in the grounds of University of Limerick on June 29th that year. Yesterday, a man in his 40s was arrested in County Donegal. Separately, a man in his 30s was detained in County Limerick. They're both due before a special sitting of the Special Criminal Court in Dublin this evening. A man's been arrested in Derry by detectives from the PSNI's Terrorism Investigation Unit. In a statement, police say as part of their investigation into violent dissident Republican activity in the northwest, a search was conducted and a 22-year-old man detained. He was brought to the Musgrave Serious Crime Suite, where he remains in custody. Government formation talks have been continuing today as hopes of a deal this week fade, but a hard deadline of next week is emerging for the finalisation of a programme for government. With more, here's political correspondent Sean Defoe.
Sources involved with the talks say that progress is being made, but it's slow going and the most difficult issues are yet to be resolved. How and when to pay the bill for COVID-19, changes to the transport system and its funding, and how to achieve climate change targets are all on the agenda again today. Leo Varadkar, Micheál Martin and Eamon Ryan have also had discussions on the talks ahead of independent TDs being invited into the process. It's now widely accepted that a deal isn't going to get finished this week, but there's going to be issues if it can't get done by next week. Criminal justice legislation needs to be reaffirmed by the Oireachtas by the end of June, and that needs a new government. The two-week voting process on a programme for government from the political parties needs to start next week to give time for that to happen.
A County Donegal mental health nurse who flew home from Australia to answer the government's Be On Call for Ireland initiative has revealed she hasn't received a single call in 11 weeks. Anya Gleeson says she hasn't received even one available nursing shift in the Donegal area since arriving home from Australia 11 weeks ago since the announcement. The government put out a call for nurses to return home to Ireland and for former nurses to register to help deal with the COVID-19 crisis, saying that the country needed them. Anya says she's now unemployed and unable to qualify for the COVID payment.
So I re-registered with the national panel to try and get a HSE job, but they haven't even held interviews yet for that. And then I'm registered with Nurse On Call as well, so on call 24/7, but there hasn't been one mental health shift available in Donegal, anywhere in Donegal, over this past few weeks. The wards are quiet at the moment, but I can say that it will be, I'd say there'll be a massive increase in admissions soon anyway.
The Irish Wheelchair Association says a Gartha clampdown has led to a sharp increase in disabled bay fines. The force collected over €870,000 from drivers in 2018 and 2019. Last year in Donegal, 101 drivers were fined a total of €16,010. With more, here's Owen Murphy.
The standard fine for someone who parks or stops in a disabled bay is now €150. According to Freedom of Information figures, the Gardaí collected €471,000 from 3,664 motorists who broke the law last year. Both figures are up sharply on 2018, when €401,000 was collected from 3,385 drivers. The IWA's John Dolan says it's due to increased Gardaí enforcement. He says it's a major issue for many people with disabilities.
When one considers the importance of the accessible space for a motorist with a disability, availability of such spaces in reality is a very important lifeline.
People are being encouraged to have their say on a proposed one-way system for Donegal Town. Because of COVID-19 restrictions, the viewing of the plans and particulars of the development is only available online. The consultation lasts until the 23rd of this month, as Catherine Gaffney now reports.
It's proposed to introduce a one-way system onto Tyrconnell Street, Castle Street, Water Street and New Row within Donegal Town to improve traffic flow, safety for pedestrians and vulnerable road users, and also to create additional on-street parking. A mini roundabout at the New Row Tyrconnell Street Drumrisk Road Junction is also part of the proposed plans, while the additional on-street parking will be on Tyrconnell Street, Water Street and New Row. The proposals will be available for inspection until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, June the 23rd. Submissions and observations with respect to the proposed development may be made to Donegal County Council offices in Lifford before 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the 8th of July.
The man who's heading the drive to establish a technological university for the West and Northwest says it will have a positive impact on the drive for more regional development. Dr. Sean Duffy has been appointed Executive Project Lead of the Connaught Ulster Alliance, which is bringing together Letterkenny IT, IT Sligo and GMIT in Galway and Mayo. Speaking on today's 9 till noon show, Dr. Duffy said the development potential arising from the project is significant.
We're talking about developing a university for the region, for this wider region that could stretch from Galway right up to Donegal and across into Mayo, Roscommon, Leitrim, in those areas as well. And it's particularly important for the wider community, for industry, and in particular for generating employment opportunities for our graduates, but also training and further education opportunities for those who are in employment, and also for the variety of industry that's there, so that we would be a resource spread across the Western Seaboard that will assist in regional development and assist in the development of individual companies that maybe up to this then they possibly didn't have an opportunity to engage with maybe international trade, or maybe we could engage with them in terms of developing larger research projects. And those sort of the wider benefits for the community, not only in economic, social, cultural and other aspects.
Letterkenny Chamber of Commerce has launched a new campaign inviting the people of Donegal to share their ideas on how to help the county grow. The campaign's being supported by Donegal County Council. Anyone with ideas is being urged to use digital platforms with the hashtag Help Donegal Grow. That will help, they say, to widen the audience and encourage others to get involved. Jimmy Stafford is president of Letterkenny Chamber.
Have a think of any idea that they think in the back of their mind, they might say, "Ah, oh, this isn't a great idea," but in effect, it might be a fantastic idea. So, and it's all about helping Donegal grow as we exit or come out of COVID-19 and we start into phase two, hopefully, next week. So, Catherine, no idea can be too big or too small, and it can be for any aspect of life, and that be tourism, retail sector, in your local community. And so we're just asking people out there to put their thinking hats on and look at what ideas they have, and it could help Donegal grow right across the county.
And as you say, it's more important than ever to participate in something like this as we emerge from COVID-19 and possible recession and that sort of thing. It is so important to keep it positive.
Absolutely, and I suppose that's one of the things what COVID-19 has taught us, both in our personal lives and people in business, is that we've had to change the way we do things, and we will have to change the way we do things going forward. And I suppose it's all about being positive and thinking that there is a way out of this for many people, both in business and in small towns, in our communities, in our large communities. And, you know, somebody out there has an idea. They may be sitting in their kitchen this morning thinking, imagine if we did this, the impact or the consequences it would have. So what we'd be asking people is to go into letterkennychamber.com/ and Help Donegal Grow and submit their idea. And it has to be implementable within 12 months, and it has to be a low cost in it as well.
That was Jimmy Stauffer, the president of Letterkenny Chamber. Work is continuing in Rathmullen to determine how the Wild Atlantic Way has impacted the village and the wider Fannet Peninsula. The Rathmullen Way Forward project has been collaborating with NUI Galway for almost 3 years now. The project is nearing completion. Because of COVID-19, the community-based aspect of the work has now gone digital. John Gallagher is one of the coordinators of the project. He says so far their findings have been positive.
All in our communication, it's very easy for people to connect to the researchers in National University in Galway, and we should be able to finish the project as planned. The project is actually looking at the impact that the Wild Atlantic Way has had on rural communities. So it's particularly relevant to Rathmullen, which is on the Wild Atlantic Way between the two signature points of Fannet Head and on one side and Mallon Head on the other side.
And what have you found so far? I'm sure it has had a positive impact on Rathmullen and further afield.
It's definitely had a positive impact. But, you know, don't forget that, you know, Rathmullen existed long before the Wild Atlantic Way existed, and the same for all rural communities existed. So the Wild Atlantic Way was a branding that was put on top of existing locations. So it's very interesting to try to understand if the Wild Atlantic Way has had a sort of social impact or economic impact, and what that and how to measure that those impacts. So that's really why we're doing the collaboration, because it's quite a complex issue to figure out the social and economic impacts of the Wild Atlantic Way.
Approaching 5:15, we say good evening to Oisín Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. The FAI say they are proceeding with plans to restructure the association, supported by the required constitutional reform. The statement comes in the wake of the FAI council member Nixon Morton's decision to write to FIFA and UEFA to express his concern that the FAI has lost sovereignty following the government bailout deal. The FAI say today they are further committed to regaining the trust of the public and key stakeholders who are helping them achieve their plan. They also invite dialogue with any stakeholder who may have constructive input during the restructuring process. In Scotland, the new Premiership season is set to return in the month of August. It's after the SPFL reached an agreement with broadcaster Sky Sports to create a virtual season ticket. It means teams will be able to charge supporters to watch all of their home games on TV to replace the matchday income lost without fans in the stadium. Meanwhile, Amazon Prime has announced it will make all four of their remaining Premier League matches this season free to air. It means 33 of the 92 top flight games shared between Sky Sports, BT Sport, Amazon and the BBC can be viewed without a subscription. The Premier League is set to restart on the 17th of June. Aston Villa captain Jack Grealish says he was deeply embarrassed after being caught breaking lockdown. The midfielder was pictured at the scene of an accident in which a Range Rover crashed into two parked cars. Grealish later apologised and donated money to the NHS and says he now wants to draw a line under the incident.
I tried to make amends straight away, but obviously coming out and doing a public apology, you know, I didn't want to hide behind a club statement. But obviously, like I said, you know, it's something that I don't look back on with pride, but I move on, you know, and like I said, we all make mistakes.
On the boxing front, undisputed lightweight world champion Kitty Taylor's rescheduled July bout with Amanda Serrano has been officially cancelled. The fight, originally scheduled for May, was postponed by Matchroom Boxing due to the coronavirus pandemic. The two women were due to clash in the undercard of the Dillian Whyte Alexander Povetkin event in the Manchester Arena. Taylor has not fought since last October and she has yet to find out the new date of the Serrano fight. In horse racing, Irish trainer Aidan O'Brien will send over four colts to Newmarket for Saturday's 2,000 guineas, a race he has won for the last 3 years. Odds on favourite Pinatubu will face 14 rivals for the first classic of the UK flat season, which will be held behind closed doors. O'Brien has no Irish-based jockeys available due to quarantine restrictions, so he's handed the ride aboard second favourite Arizona to Ryan Moore. In motorsport, Rally Finland has been cancelled for this season and rescheduled for 2021. The event was due to take place from the 6th to the 9th of August. Organisers said there were too many ongoing factors with regard to health and safety risks, given the event is only 2 months away. Just last week, Irish crew Craig Breen and Paul Nagel were confirmed to take seats in one of the Hyundais. Rally New Zealand is also cancelled, which means Rally Turkey, which starts on September 24th, is the next scheduled round. And finally, in other motorsport news, the Northwest 200 has received a boost, which may help easing fears over the event's future. The 200 is to get funding of over £60,000 from Causeway Coast and Glensborough Council. The money will ensure that the event can take place next year after falling into significant financial difficulties caused by the coronavirus pandemic. And that's it from the sports desk for today. Back with more tomorrow morning, Donald.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Donald Trump says he went into the White House bunker over the weekend to inspect it, and not because of protests. The US president was taken to the underground facility on Friday as demonstrators gathered outside in Washington, D.C. in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement. Donald Trump has told Fox Radio he was there for a tiny period of time. The Burton Port Festival, which was to have taken place in July, has been cancelled. The organisers say they hope to run a small festival with a series of events on a much smaller scale from the 25th to the 27th of September. Those plans will depend on the successful reopening of the country and will be reviewed closer to the time, at which point decisions will be made. There's more details on that on our website, highlandradio.com. A major project is about to start to strengthen the arches on the Mourne Bridge in Strabane. A contractor has been appointed to start work within the next few weeks. It'll involve setting large nets of stone to fill the riverbed below the arches. Local councillor Michaela Boyle says it's essential and necessary work to protect the bridge in case of flooding. She says the works will not impact on traffic, neither will it impact on the flow of the river or the spawning of fish.
Obviously, we're all aware of the 1987 flood and the recent floods since that. So there is no immediate danger to the bridge. This work is necessary to ensure future flooding will not have a negative impact or bearing on the bridge. It's necessary work to carry out to strengthen the structure of the bridge. They intend to put large stone baskets below the arches to fill holes. I've been told by Locks Agency that there will be no obstruction to traffic or pedestrians whilst this work is being carried out, but it is necessary in order to ensure that any future flooding will not have a negative impact on the bridge.
Because we do know flooding can happen at any time of the year now. You know, it's not confined to the winter months. We do see flooding more regularly even at this time of the year.
Absolutely, and I think it's worth to mention that given our good spell of weather at the minute that we are currently have, and the river at the minute is low, I think this is one of the reasons why the work is being carried out now to maintain the bridge, so that because there is no flood, and in order for the people who are doing the work, that are carrying out the work, to get in below the bridge to see exactly what needs to be done. You know, the bridge has a long history of the flooding.
And that was Michaela Boyle, their councillor in Strabane. The Cathaoirleach of Donegal County Council is urging parents in the county to check if they're eligible for the Back to School Allowance. The scheme, which opened this week, is open to the parents of children aged from 4 to 17 on or before September 30th. If they're aged between 18 and 22, they must be returning to full-time second-level education in a recognised school or college. Councillor Nicholas Crossland says the circumstances for many families in Donegal have changed dramatically this year, so it's important that where possible, they avail of the scheme.
The allowance opened yesterday, Catherine. I think it's very, very important. That's the Back to School Clothing and Footwear Allowance. In these uncertain times that we have, the children will go back to school. We don't know exactly when they're going to go back yet, but they will need uniforms. And I'm just delighted that this scheme has come out. It gives our parents a chance to plan in advance for the school days whenever the children may go back.
And unfortunately, as you touched on at the beginning there, more parents, I'm sure, will find themselves in a very different position now this year financially, maybe, than they were last year. Maybe they are eligible, even though they might have not been before.
Yes, it's very, very important, because obviously things have changed in the last few months. And it's just more or less that between now and September, we have 3 months, parents have 3 months to prepare for children going back to school. It's one issue less that they'll have to look at, that maybe in August or something like that. The circumstances have changed and will change between now and September. But I think it's good that they can find out whatever information they might need on mywelfare.ie. That's mywelfare.ie, and they'll get all the information on it and who's eligible for it. I think it's just one problem less to worry about.
Councillor Nicholas Crossan there. Finally, Irish Water says work will begin this summer on a pipe replacement programme between Ballindrate and Tubber on the outskirts of Lifford. Local councillor Jerry Crawford says after years of campaigning, he's finally been given a commitment that the work will begin in August. He says he expects more bursts between now and the time the work actually gets underway. He says the road's been dug up for pipe repairs so often at this stage, it now resembles the lunar surface.
It's the first time we've received confirmation in writing. They're confirming that Ballindrate is on the priority list of water mains for replacement. Design works are underway, and following the completion of a detailed design and site investigation, it is projected that construction will commence in August 2020, subject to COVID-19 restrictions. The positive part of this is that Irish Water finally acknowledged that work will be commencing there. What remains to be seen is what works are they exactly talking about and how long will it take? And I'm sure that there'll be many a burst, because it's a very problematic area between now and then. But we have to be positive about what we do have, and what we have is a projected date of August for construction and for some relief to the people who have suffered so much in that area.
Presumably Irish Water's engineers will be liaising with the council's own water people on the ground, and they're the ones who know exactly where the problems are and where the stresses are, and I'm sure you'll be hopeful that they'll be able to give a full report to Irish Water as to exactly what's necessary.
Well, there's been so many bursts there. It's like a lunar surface. The road that has been replaced there, and it's like a lunar surface already. There have been so many repairs on that part of the road that I think that the Donegal Water Services have done an excellent job and trying their best to keep the people supplied with water. This commitment is what we're waiting on from Irish Water. There'll be no doubt about what the problem is, and what we're waiting on now is details of what their solution is.
And that was Councillor Jerry Crawford there. Finally, an appeal has been made for information about a missing woman who could be in Donegal. Maura Donnelly from Coal Island in County Tyrone was last seen at 2 o'clock yesterday. She was driving a white Hyundai i30 car, which was spotted in the Strabane area. Her family believe that she may have crossed the border into Donegal. Anyone with information is being asked to contact either Gardaí or the PSNI. Weather forecasts, it'll be dry with clear spells at first tonight, but some showers developing later. Lowest temperature 7 to 9 degrees Celsius, light to moderate northwesterly breezes. Tomorrow, a mix of sunny spells and scattered showers, moderate to occasionally fresh northwesterly winds. Highest afternoon temperatures of 12 or 13 degrees. Main stories in brief, the Exchequer deficit reached 6.1 billion euro in May, but the pressure on the Exchequer not as bad as it might have been. Tax revenues were up 1.3% on May of 2019. The Fianna Fáil deputy leader says COVID-19 can't be used as an excuse to remove banks and other services from rural Ireland. A man from Donegal and a man from Limerick, both arrested yesterday in connection with a shooting in Limerick in 2015, are appearing this evening at the Special Criminal Court in Dublin. And we're back with news again at 6. Until then, from the news team, good evening. The obituary notices for this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of June. The death has occurred of Jimmy McGlinchey, 35, Tullycar Road, Ahearn. Requiem Mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St Patrick's Church, Ahearn, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Due to government restrictions, the house, mass and interment are strictly private to the immediate family, please. Mass tomorrow at 12 noon can be viewed on the parish webcam at parishofahearn.com. The sudden death has taken place in New York of Colm Kelly, formerly of Rishini Clonmany, son of the late Paul and Sissy Kelly. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Kevin Bell Repatriation Trust, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Desi Gallagher, Drumcairn, Manor Cunningham. Desi's funeral cortege will travel through Manor Cunningham village tomorrow at 10:30 en route to St Columbus Church, Drumahoe. Funeral Mass can be viewed live at 11 o'clock on the O'Donnell Funeral Director's Facebook page, facebook.com/O'Donnell FDL. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and burial are strictly private to immediate family only, please. And the death has taken place of Grace Friel, Laddin Fanad. Funeral Mass tomorrow in St Mary's Church, Fanavolti at 11, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake, funeral and burial are private to family only, please.